Mr. Coxey, if you will please establish a quorum.
Mark Blackwell. Jim Brawner.
Here.
Randall Cummings.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Sarah Kleinfelter.
Here.
Sean Pingleton. Frank Preston. Joy Staples.
Here.
Carl Pride.
Here.
Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
We do. Okay, and Mr. Coxey, again, if you'll please explain the procedures for tonight's meeting.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission public hearing procedures. Public hearings are required and governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held on each Division 3 application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. The Taney County Development Guidance Code is Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B, and the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the commission, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment at the public hearing, you must sign the sheet which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it is your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the Planning Commission, not to anyone in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment. At the conclusion of public comments, the public hearing on each request will be closed. The regular meeting of the Planning Commission will be held 1 week after the public hearing. The projects will be reviewed and voted on by the Commission at that meeting. The regular meeting is an open meeting. However, no additional public comment shall be taken unless expressly requested by the Commission. And you may leave after your case is heard.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's move directly into the public hearings. And the first project on tonight's schedule is Susan's Bookkeeping. Is Susan Burke here this evening? Okay. And signing up to speak on Susan's Bookkeeping. But before we do that, we need the information. Gentlemen, if you would give us our high-tech video presentation.
Let me give you some low-tech reading first.
Okay, some low-tech reading.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission Division 3 staff report for Susan's Bookkeeping, dated September 14, 2009, case number 09-23. This is the public hearing for Susan's Bookkeeping, located at 1129 State Highway H in the Swan Township, Section 8, Township 24, Range 20. The applicant, Susan Burke, requests approval to operate a bookkeeping business from her home. History is that it was approved for concept on August 17, 2009. General description, the subject property is located at 1129 State Highway H, and the adjoining properties to the request consist of residential. Review, the proposed site will consist of the existing residence, no additional buildings to be constructed. The project scored an 8 out of a possible 51 on the policy checklist. That largely due to the fact that a lot of these came back at just a 0. It didn't count for or against.
This is special.
Policies receiving a negative score are as follows, use compatibility and residential privacy. Summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following, foliage screening or fencing for commercial areas that adjoin residential tracts. Number 2, compliance letters from the fire, sewer, and water districts. Number 3, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. And the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire.
Okay.
So let's just familiarize you with where this is real quick. Out on H Highway, if you go out 160 here by Tanco Lumber and then straight on out there, this would be, of course, the property from a long way off. We're going to get a little bit closer. This is actually the property here, it's our driveway. You can see it's not a very, very dense area. However, this house here, is reasonably close. I mean, there's some space provided there. This is coming to you as a special use home occupation. Don't know that you would require any fencing or anything between there. You could if you would so choose. It's not like they're right on top of each other or anything like that. But basically, this particular business that she's looking to run is... As mentioned before, clients by appointment, that kind of thing like that. There's, of course, ample parking, everything like that. Won't change the nature of the neighborhood hard at all. Do we have anything else on that? I believe we've got a video. And so here we go. We'll try to, give you a good view of what's out there going on around. And also some kind of perspective as to the distance between her house and the house next door. can do a lot of stuff out there and nobody would notice.
Some people do.
And that's across the street.
That is across the street. Okay. And that was a zoom lens.
Can we get Eddie to explain the check?
Because this is the house next door, and I'm going to walk down there and kind of shoot between it for you. And there is a distance of trees there, and of course, no underbrush or anything like that. But I don't think she's going to be making a whole lot of noise or anything like that.
I don't know, those bookkeepers.
Tax season, you never know.
I'm a wild and crazy bunch.
But that's about what there is to see. We didn't take you down through the woods or anything because we just didn't feel like it was pertinent or anything like that. That'd be good then.
Okay. And Susan Burke, you're the only person who signed up to speak on this. Is there any additional information that you want to present to the commission at this time? Does the commission have any questions for Ms. Burke?
I have probably just...
Okay.
She would come up and address.
Okay, if you would, please. And introduce yourself, please, for the record.
I'm Susan Burke.
One of those wild and crazy bookkeepers.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Just the question would be, what would be your hours of operation, customers in and out? How many parking spaces or customers would you expect to be in your residence at any one time maximum?
One at a time. They would have to come by appointment. They would call ahead, and I would make arrangements for whatever hours they might need.
Okay, and what do you have limitations of what?
No,
you
I'm
feel?
Usually up at about 4 o'clock, and so anywhere from there till about 10 and 11 at night. So,
four in the morning or four in the evening?
In the morning, I don't sleep much, so seemed like a good thing to be doing at home.
That's why four in the morning is kind of early. Okay. Okay.
But just be by appointment, most people would be during standard business hours.
And you understand the special use designation that it goes with your activity, not with the property upon sale of that property. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good.
I guess that's it.
Real quick, just to be on the record, It is particular to you and to the property. If either one of those changes, it does go away.
Right.
So if you move somewhere else, even if you move next door, that property wouldn't be approved for that. So.
Right.
Okay. We'll see you next Monday night.
Thank you.
Okay. Next proposal has more people who signed up than for Susan Burke's. It is the Wilderness Club at Big Cedar Expansion. So, Mr. Coxey, if you'll read the staff report, please.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission Division 3 staff report for Wilderness Club at Big Cedar Expansion, dated September 14, 2009, case number 09-24. This is the public hearing for Wilderness Club at Big Cedar Expansion, located at McMean Drive in the Oliver Township, Section 12, Township 21, Range 22. The applicant, Big Cedar LLP and Three Johns Company, request approval to expand the existing Wilderness Club at Big Cedar to the north and east. History is that it was approved for concept August 17, 2009. General description, the subject property is located off of McMean Drive. The adjoining properties to the request consist of residential and agricultural and commercial. Review, the proposed site will consist of a mixed-use, commercial-use, condominiums, nightly rentals, and timeshares. The project scored a 56 out of a possible 89 on the policy checklist. Policies receiving negative scores are as follows: use, compatibility, and traffic. Summary, if the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Number one, compliance with provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following: A, sediment and erosion control; B, stormwater management; C, land grading permits; D, delineation of the 100-year floodplain; E, utility easements and building line setbacks; F, foliage screening or fencing for commercial areas that adjoin residential tracts; G, improvements with scale of building, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. Number two, compliance letters from the fire, sewer, and water districts. Number three, no outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. Number four, division permits will be required for all applicable structures in the development. And number five, the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days, or the approval will expire. Got a whole lot of stuff to catch up on, so you're going to have to bear with me here just a minute. But, Ms. Kleinfelter, I do want to give you this map so that you can
Okay, and that's different than this map?
No, you got it, okay.
Okay.
No, that will be fine. Okay. As we get into this, we'll try. There's a whole lot to tell you, and I'm sure that we'll miss something, but we've got enough people here that I'm sure we'll be reminded. Okay, Dan, give me a slide to start with.
You want that one first to cover that?
Yeah, why not? Okay. You have in front of you an artist concept kind of overlaid on the aerial diagram there. And as we were looking at this, we were of the impression that this little thing sticking up actually right here on that drawing was this piece of property, but it is not. What we have here is, of course, in the yellow, Big Cedar owns all this property here. There's also a lot right here that they own and a lot right here. These two lots are contiguous property, so the assessor has them with one parcel. This lot is part of another subdivision, and if you look on the concept drawing that you have, this lot is not requested to be included into that development. Their line comes right across here, which will mean that in the event that we go this way, we'll probably need to make mention of this lot in the decision of record. Okay.
So is that lot on our map designated as TS3?
That's, yeah.
No.
It's more than that.
Yeah. No, this actually on your map, this lot does not even show up. It would be in the TS3 area, Ms. Kleinfelter, but it
okay.
would be about right here.
Okay, I see.
Okay. Now, what we have here, this piece that's sticking up that has the big TS3 is this lot right here.
Okay.
This parcel number was omitted from the application and was brought to our attention.
Even though it shows on our map.
It does show on their plans to do, yes ma'am.
Okay.
It was just not one of the parcel numbers that we have in the application. So consequently, what happened is this. The drawing you're seeing here overlaid is correct in its locations. And you can count boat docks if you want to match them up and everything and see where it goes. The thing that happens is with this parcel here not being included, when we mailed, we did not mail letters to these people here, which would have been within 600 feet. So 600 feet was measured from this line instead. Now, that being said, again, we notify in three different ways, with mail, with the newspaper, and with posting of the property. So even if we hadn't mailed letters to anybody, we would still be meeting our requirements. I believe most of these people know they've heard through word of mouth.
And the requirements are in how many ways? You said how we do it.
We only have to do one. Right. We've done all three, with the exception that these people here could make the argument that we did not mail them a letter, and that would be correct. We did not. So anyway, your map that you have, your project map, is correct. However, this is a parcel here, and this is the one that shows a proposed entrance onto Graham Clark Road. So be aware, this parcel here is part of a subdivision, but they have not asked to include that into the project, and it will be something later on and we'll get into maybe dealing with when you begin to deliberate on what you're going to do with the project. So let me move on now. Let's see.
Why does it go right here?
Of course, this is the map that you have here, you know, showing that area down there. Go ahead and go bigger, Dan. You know, of course, this is just the kind of the overlay that you got without all the stuff in it, so that you can see there are houses, of course, along here, and I believe Mr. Pingleton, you were talking about those the other day and what mm-hmm. they're going to do. Go one more time, Dan. I need to bring them up on one more thing. If you would go right in here, Ms. Kleinfelter, I have given you some documentation from some people that are here tonight. There appears to be a dispute as to ownership of some property here. I believe the owners of the property here, there's some encroachment, and they are working on some kind of prescriptive easement, and do have some documents there showing that they're in a lawsuit with Big Cedar on that. That's not, from my perspective, that's not our battle. If they do get that and everything, then Big Cedar would need to readjust this accordingly if you choose to allow them to do this project. And everything like that. So I do want you to be aware of that. I'm trying to think what else. See if there's a few more things that you need to know real quick.
Map down here.
I believe that kind of catches everything up there, Dan. Let's go to the next slide, if you could. This is, you know, proposed easements and different things like that. You've got all this in your package and everything. And then we talked a little bit about what goes where in here. We probably want to kind of hammer down exactly, I don't remember if it's on here, how many buildings, how many units, everything like that. Go ahead, Dan. And of course, that would make a lot of pictures and everything like that with roads and everything. We run through that. Okay. So then we have some slides up here from one of the individuals that's going to speak for you tonight. Okay. If y'all choose to see those, we'll bring those up for you. But then you got the video. This is one of those areas where we took a video because that's what we do. We were going to run you down through the woods, you know, some stuff like that. I don't remember being, oh, that's the housekeeper. So there's just not a whole lot to see right now. You know, there's some small roads out there
I think this is Paradise Point, but it doesn't look like there's any development because the road where it comes up, it may be in here, right over in here.
So let's see what else I can tell you while we're waiting. Mr. Wade is not here tonight.
Mm-hmm.
He did go on his trip and everything. He does have a representative here.
Okay, and the representative, and Will, I'm assuming that you've signed the...
Doesn't look like we're going to get there tonight, Daniel. So I guess we're going to have to forego the video.
Okay.
Or we can get it up. Let him work on getting that up, and if you want to go ahead and proceed, we can...
Okay, I think...
But it's mostly just pictures of woods.
Okay. Well, the first name on the list is Richard Walters. And you are acting as the representative for the project.
That's correct. I am counsel for the applicants. Okay. As Eddie mentioned, we're here tonight on our Division 3 permit application on behalf of Big Cedar LP and Three Johns Company. The development consists of approximately 109 acres of the expansion of the Wilderness Club, which is contiguous to the existing property right now. Tonight, we're going to have several speakers speak as to their area of expertise and how they've worked on this project, and obviously reflect some of the diagrams and some of the maps. A couple of things I'd like to point out before the next speaker comes up is the scoring system. Obviously, we scored a 56 out of a possible 89. I think that scoring is reflective of good planning as well as consistent use with the area, and specifically the existing Wilderness Club and Big Cedar projects. I'd also like to point out that representatives of the applicant have met with the Oakmont Residential Community, which is the surrounding neighborhood association, met with their board of directors, reviewed the map, some of which you'll see tonight, and discussed some of the future plans in detail. And I believe they've submitted to the commission a letter supporting the project. And if you don't have a copy, I can furnish you a copy of that. There's going to be other speakers tonight, and I'll turn it over to the next speaker. But I'm available for comments and questions at the very end as well.
Okay, Mr. Walters, thank you. Tom Jowett. Okay.
Good evening. My name is Tom Jowett. I'm the Vice President of Design and Development for Bass Pro Shops. I've had the great fortune of working with Mr. Morris for over 23 years developing this property from its inception. There are other members of the team here who have also had that privilege, but It's really an opportunity for us to continue our growth, and we want to be very favorable to the Planning Commission and to the community and to the neighborhood as we continue our growth. That entire growth over the course of 20 years has involved a great deal of time and patience and energy. It's also involved a great deal of investment. The property that we're talking about has not been purchased in the last 6 months or the last year. It's taken almost 20 years to accumulate this land, so that it was contiguous, so that it did make sense. And so we've employed some of the greatest minds in the country, and one of those will speak to you here in a second relative to the planning. Also state for you and for the public that John Morris is very passionate about this land. It's important to the development group and to Mr. Morris that a sense of value be maintained, a strong sense of quality, and also a sense of service. These are the passionate elements that Big Cedar has based its reputation on, and those values will continue to be executed. The other things that are important to those three elements are authenticity and the sense of experience. This is not about space. It's about the experience and how one enjoys and participates in not only a natural environment, but a built environment. As we move to yet this next chapter in Big Cedar's growth, 109 acres will be a focal point, and it's important, if I could have one of the next slides that shows the overall development, that we maintain this. I'll take one more. And next. There you go. That one will work. Okay. Just a point of orientation. There we go. Here it is. This is the existing timeshare program here. This is the Big Cedar development with their marina on Table Rock Lake. And the 109 acres is the colored portion of the site that's shown on this particular diagram. The access points are along a state drive with the relocation of McMean Road throughout the development rather than a long sort of rectilinear path that exists currently. The purpose of that is to isolate the traffic from the neighborhood and to maintain a sense of privacy throughout the resort development. We're also breaking each of the parcels down into different size packages based on the topography that's available within that area and providing a great amount of green space within those areas. And as a later diagram, the next speaker will show you the stormwater detention areas within that. It's also important to us, as this property has been assembled and as Eddie spoke about this parcel here and a second one that exists, we're including only this one as a point of access for emergency vehicles. That will not be a public access way along Graham Clark Road. It's only for emergency access. We're also planning in this overall 109 acres, along with what exists on the current property, a future access point so that the property that is owned is anticipating in other future growth. We are not developing this property here. The growth will continue and be contiguous with the Big Cedar campus and the Blue Green campus. The consolidation of roads is important to us, and the next speaker will speak more consistently to that. And a respectiveness to our neighbors, there's a large green space buffer that's required and provided. We've in fact exceeded that and are now offering that we will include a fence along this buffer area. We saw that as two values based on questions that were asked during the last presentation, is that if a particular customer from the Big Cedar development, the Blue Green Consortium, is out walking in the trees, they come to a fence, they clearly know that that is outside the parcel that they've been staying in. So we see that as a point of definition. Also saw it as a value to the neighbors in terms of dogs and cats and raccoons or whatever that may be abiding in those properties, as well as the residences as a point of separation between the two. So that has been added to the plan since our last discussion. I'd like to introduce Ed Lindquist. Ed is with EDSA, which is Edward Durrell Stone. They're one of the foremost land planners in the country. They do Disney, Hilton, Marriott, Hyatt. And Ed will speak to the reasons why this plan has developed to the point that it is today. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Lindquist.
Hi, good evening. My name's Ed Lindquist. I'm a principal with the firm of EDSA, and I'm here to represent the Blue Green Corporation and Bass Pro in the design and development of the 109 acres expansion of the existing Big Cedar Wilderness Club. Tom mentioned several things that I'm going to repeat again, but I thought he brought up a real important point that this is not about more development as much as it is about creating an experience and a wonderful place for people to come and recreate and enjoy Taney County and Table Rock Lake and all that this region has to offer. So before we began to even start the design on this project, one of the first things we do as planners is we look at the land. And so we came out, we walked the property, we studied the soils, we studied the topography, we looked at the vegetation, we looked carefully at what were the surrounding land uses, We studied the traffic, and without going through each different element, we truly try and understand the place and the history and the culture and the existing kind of resources of the land before we really start any kind of design. And I think that's really important as we talk about this property, because it is a very unique piece of land, and we want to develop it so that it is sensitive to the environment, sensitive to the surrounding neighbors and existing land uses, and then, like I said at the beginning, really create a place that not only is a good business venture for our clients, but is a good neighbor to the community. Let's see if I can get this thing to work. Where's the button? Oh, there it is. There we go. Okay. The perimeter of the site kind of wiggles through here, but essentially there it goes, you know, around like that. North is up on this diagram. We have a state drive which traverses across the southern end of the site. We have Graham Clark that comes across the northern end. And as Tom had mentioned, Bass Pro owns the property adjacent to us to the east. We have some existing landowners that are to the north and to the west of us. And then south in this region is where the existing Wilderness Club resides. The other thing that Tom mentioned that I think is very important is one of our proposals as part of kind of the big picture with developing a resort of this type is we would like to take McMean Road, which makes kind of a hard turn right here, and we'd like to move McMean Road so that it makes a... We'd like to move it to the perimeter. And the reason that we're making this recommendation is it helps us to do two things. It helps us to internalize our traffic so that as guests come to the resort, they enter through the gateways into the property. Then they're really kind of insulated within the Wilderness Club environment. And it also keeps our neighbors and other folks that are traveling through the area, they don't have to cut through and have to interface with all those folks that are there on vacation. So we thought that was really a win-win for both the county and the residents and for our guests and the employees of the development. If we could go back to that land use slide. One more. That's good, right there. So if you look at the diagram at the top, those red stars, those indicate the primary access points. We have one here, which will be off the future McMean relocation, and we have one right here at Estate Drive. The blue dots indicate where we see future and also emergency entrances. One here, future, going to the east into more of the Bass Pro property. And then we have this one here on Graham Clark, which is Mr. Jowett mentioned is there for as an emergency access. And as you know, as properties develop and you get that kind of development in there, we want to make sure that if ever there was a need for emergency vehicles or such, that we wouldn't be trapped. And so we felt that that was another important aspect of the planning and design of this property. This darker green that you see here, this is a 30-foot buffer that we put along the western edge here and then the north there. And Mr. Jowett mentioned this, but it's a 30-foot buffer, and our intention there is to allow that to remain just the way it is today. Our intention is not to go in and take down the trees or do a lot of landscaping. What we'd like to do is we'd like to put a fence up, and which will keep, you know, folks from drifting into the neighbor's property, and just leave it the way it is. So it remains treed, it's a natural buffer, and then that way our property line and the neighbors to the north, it just kind of blends. There isn't an abrupt ending or beginning to the development.
I've got a question right there.
Go ahead.
The The fence that you're talking about, is it going to be on the north or the south side of the buffer?
I think what we'd like to do is we'd like to hold it within our property just slightly and allow it to kind of meander between the trees and just be kind
so
of...
somewhere more, on the inside, yeah, of the north side, but maybe not on the...
Exactly.
It's kind of meandering through the buffer itself.
Exactly. Kind of what I was thinking is using a wire fence that's painted black so that it kind of disappears into the trees, but still is a sufficient buffer for people that might potentially walk through that area. Okay, the yellow. The yellow areas that you see on the plan is where we're proposing to develop the timeshare product. And the timeshare product will be similar to what you see that's already been developed at the resort today. We're going to change the architectural style a little bit. We want to take the larger lodge buildings. We want to try and do a little bit smaller building, a little bit more attention to detail, but it'll be somewhat similar to what you see out there today. I mentioned to you that we started with this analysis of the land, and in doing that, we learned that there's a ridge which runs across the property kind of in this direction, which is kind of the high point of the land. And the property then drops off at somewhere between 10 and 20% slopes off towards the lake on all four sides, actually. Our intention is to, in TS1 here and TS3 here, to do single-story units that are similar to the cabins that you see in the Wilderness Club today, that they would be placed in kind of an organic shape and pattern and nestled into the trees. On the higher elevations, we would like to do the taller timeshare units, 4 to 5 stories, similar to what you see out there today. But the idea is to never get those units so high up on the slope that it kind of breaks the ridge line, if you will. Because we've also thought about this property as you're out on Table Rock Lake or in the surrounding communities looking back. And again, we want to be good neighbors. We want this to blend in as best possible with the surrounding community and actually improve on what's been done previously at the Wilderness Club. The purple color that you see here, it's about 12 acres. We're recommending that for some commercial use. And the vision there is to provide, kind of, if you will, a kind of a Main Street kind of development, something that's quaint and that would have shops and services that would meet the needs of our guests, but also could potentially meet some of the needs of the residents as well. Some of those things would be maybe a coffee shop, an ice cream parlor. There might be some opportunity for maybe a barber. And I'm just making suggestions here. Maybe there's a small deli. Things that would be uses that we believe that the guests of the resort would want and need and find valuable, but we also think that they would be of use to the surrounding residents as well. The lighter green color that you see here is what we're calling recreation open space. And the intention with the recreation open space is to provide a place for our guests to have open space, but also amenities like swimming pools, walking trails. There's the need for places to have programmed events. Maybe we could have festivals and, you know, just have outdoor areas where kids can throw a ball or a frisbee or whatever. And the way that this is designed is we have lodge buildings here and lodge buildings that kind of encircle in these areas here and here, and we'd like that to be kind of the green core that everyone can easily walk to in the center. And also this green space follows an existing natural drainage route that works its way down towards Table Rock. lake, and we also see that's an advantage. If we can keep that in more of a green, natural state, it will help with cleansing runoff and protecting the lake. And also it becomes kind of a fun and convenient route if you wanted to walk down the slope and make your way to the existing Wilderness Club, to the Big Cedar campus, and the marina. So we see not only is it green space, but it also helps us to start to develop this wonderful opportunity for people to not get in their cars, but actually walk and stroll through the development and link it as a, more of a pedestrian-oriented development. These areas here, obviously, these are the existing Wilderness Club, and they, those won't change. But there will be future roadway linkages that will allow us to connect the proposed development to the existing development. And again, that is so that when we're done in 15 or so years, when this is completely built out, that it will feel as a comprehensive campus. So the resort is all together, and then the community surrounds it in a nice, comfortable, and a well-functioning way. And then this small little gray area here is maintenance, and that's a place where we can have trailer storage, boat storage, those kinds of things, and also provides an opportunity for just the resort maintenance to function the way it does. We placed it in this area here because it's close to where you already have existing Big Cedar Resort maintenance facilities and the wastewater treatment plant, which occurs right there. This this other purple color is a proposal that was before you not too long ago for a bowling alley with the Big Cedar folks. Just some of the statistics on the project. The total project area is 108.99 acres. Timeshare is 57.28 acres, which represents about 50% of the site. The commercial land is 12.41 acres and represents 11% of the site. The recreation and open space is 24.57 acres and represents 22% of the total land area. We have roads and right-of-ways that are about approximately 9.13 acres. The 30-foot buffer that surrounds the north and west is approximately 3.9 acres, which represents 4% of the site. And that small maintenance area in the southeast is about 1.7 acres, or 2% of the site. I won't go through all the detail on each one of the parcel numbers unless you would like me to.
No, I think probably we need to move on.
Okay.
Because I think you've hit many of the main concerns that we're dealing with here.
Okay.
Except for number of units.
Well, I was getting there.
Okay, got it.
Okay, the total number of units proposed for the site is 620 timeshare units. 620 timeshare units would be placed on 57.2 acres of the land. And something important to mention about that is the 109 acres, if you divide that through, you get a gross density of 5.6 acres, 5.68 dwelling units or timeshare units per acre. The existing Wilderness Club actually is at 6.26 units per acre. So actually the proposed expansion, the density quite a bit, almost one unit less per acre, which is, in my opinion, is fairly substantial. And unless you would like me to keep going, I can talk all night. I love this stuff.
I'm afraid of that. That's because you're doing a fine job. Mr. Lindquist, I think if you're available for questions and maybe to deal with some of the issues, but I think we need to hear from people in the community that have come to the public hearing. So thank you very much. The next name, I think, is Mike Seltzer.
Here with Blue Green. I'll just be available for any questions.
Okay, very fine. And then I have Howard Kitchen.
Same.
Okay. And Keith Sayer?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Mr. Sayer. And again, if you'll introduce yourself for the record.
Yes, I'm Keith Sayer, 1797 Graham Park Drive. I'm one of the homes that is adjacent to the development. I do have copies of my presentation in case anyone wishes to make notes or whatever.
You just want to pass those around?
Yeah. There was some concern a little earlier on whether or not we have a projector. So it was suggested that bring something to be on the safe side. If you can have the next slide, please. Am I able to control it?
Yeah. All that is just a pointer. You can't control it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think I could. If I can have the next... Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. Just a little background. Hanson-Clevenger Creek subdivision, which is on the north side, much of the north side of the proposed expansion of Big Cedar, it was established in 1960. And there were 12 homes in the subdivision. About 7 on one side and 5 on the other. And there are presently no commercial activities in this area. So it's been a long-standing neighborhood, residential community. And we just have some concerns, as I think you might understand. Mm-hmm. Next slide, please. Yeah, basically, our concerns are, and these are ranked in order of what's important to most people. The effect on traffic and public safety is probably our number one concern. And what impact is this development going to have on that? Because it's not good as it is now. Secondly, the effect of the area aesthetics and on residential property values. Thirdly, the effect of the water table and local wells in particular. That's really important to us because we all live by our wells. The effect of surface water runoff and control, and as some of the impoundments for that control look like they are impoundments, what about mosquito control and communicable diseases? Though that's a concern. And the effect of sewage containment and its environmental impact. So you can see how it goes down in its level of concern. Next slide, please. Okay, you've seen this a number of times. Obviously, some things have changed on information that we've received this evening as far as this place right here, this exit point right here on Graham Clark. It looks like that's emergency only, but of course, we didn't know that when we were putting together this presentation. And again, here, that was a potential exit out of the development that we didn't really know where it was going to go. But that still doesn't eliminate traffic coming from here. And whereas, you know, there's a lot of flow showing down this direction, if I'm staying in this facility and I want to go into town, I want to catch a show, I want to go down to the marina, that is the state marina and so forth, how am I going to go there? Am I going to cut all the way back to 86? Or am I just going to cut right up Graham or right up McMean, take a right on Graham Clark, and go out? It's much shorter, much easier, and we feel it's going to add a significant amount of traffic. I can't tell you how much because I tried to get data on how much traffic there is now, and there seems to exist no data on how much traffic Graham Clark gets. All I know is that we get a lot. We get enough to where we have to put barriers in front of our driveways to stop people from turning around in our drive. This is the entrance from right here. This is a picture of the entrance from right here, heading that way. And it's flat and it's fast. 25 miles an hour is non-existent. And there can be commercial, there can be vehicles going at high rates of speed, just residents, or not residents, but just all sorts of traffic going at very high rates of speed. And that's of grave concern. I don't know what the best solution is. Speed bumps? I don't think it's ever been patrolled down through there. And you know, it's a problem. That's probably our number one concern about the increase in number of people here. If there's some way to shun them all that direction, that'd be wonderful. Next slide, please. Our other concerns are, or the next most concern is, you know, what's going to be the impact on our area as far as aesthetics and property values? Now, there's seven people who reside next to the proposed expansion. There's seven lots. Of those, five of us are retired folks. You know, we bought our homes with the idea we're living in a nice, comfortable, quiet residential neighborhood, and we don't plan on moving for a long time, we hope. Lord be with us. But, you know, depending on what goes up next to us, it could have a detrimental effect on our real estate values. And a poorly conceived and executed development would have dire impact on us. These great big humongous things behind us that you see over on some areas would be detrimental. We understand, based on what Big Cedar does, their history and quality, that we don't expect them to put that kind of thing up. We really don't. We know what kind of building you do. But it's a concern to us. And it would be to you if you put yourselves in our homes. What if our properties drop? Are you going to warn it? Are you going to protect us? Protect our property values? No. Next slide, please. There's our homes. You know, you can see them. And I've identified where they are. You know, these are nice, nice homes. And we want to protect our values. Next slide, please. So, you know, looking at neighbors of commercial, you know, we've got residential neighborhood, and we're looking at kinds of commercial neighbors. Golf courses make excellent neighbors, you know. So do cemeteries. but, you know, timeshares aren't so good unless there's a number of qualifiers. If we can't see them and they can't see us, that's good. If they can't see our neighborhood, if they can't observe us, if we can't observe them, that's good. If it can't be seen from the street, that's good. And I don't know if you guys were reading our minds, but the nice little cabins are beautiful. And that kind of structure behind us, you know, blends in. And it's much better than a six-story building. And so, you know, these are some of our questions. Some have been answered now. The kinds of structures you're planning on building, the height of those structures, and green spaces. So we've gotten some information tonight we didn't have before. Next slide, please. Okay, here's a concern. What's the estimated increase in population? We now have a number. And what's their increased water usage? What's the impact on adding another major well to the area? We all live by our wells. And I can tell you in the 6 years that we have lived in our home, we've seen the water quality go down to the point where we've, because of increased iron concentrations in the water, we've had to put in a filtration system that was expensive. It was suggested that, you know, we've got a big neighbor that uses a lot of water next to us. This is by the plumbing institution that I bought it from. It has an impact on us. You know, if it gets so bad, are you going to help us dig new wells? Are you going to sell us potable water? You know, these are concerns. And there's not much we can do about it. If you draw so much more water than is down there, there's only so much. Anyway, next slide, please. surface control.
Mr. Sayre, yeah. You know, I'm probably going to stop you because can we summarize your major concerns, please?
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, your PowerPoint presentation is awesome and wonderful.
Yeah, that's okay.
But we have many other people who still want to speak.
Let me be very quick about that. These impoundments, they're to control overflow and so forth. I'm sure there's mitigation that handles that excess overflow. We just need some assurances of that. I'm also concerned, because I'm a microbiologist, about mosquito control. Next slide. Sewage collection control. In that same previous slide, there's a little box there that shows a pumping station. What happens if the power goes out? Do we have sewage overflow? I don't know. That's a concern. And then one more slide, please, and a summary. We respectfully request that zoning rejects attempts to build huge buildings behind us, but in preference to small cabins.
Okay, and I think what the information that you've heard tonight ought to help allay some of these concerns.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes.
But the issue of the water table
is
really
very
important. Significant.
Water and traffic,
right.
One and two.
Okay. Mr. Sayre, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good job. Mr. Jim Unger.
Thank you. I'm Jim Unger, and own residences on Graham Clark Drive, and I'm representing Clevenger Valley Beach subdivision, which is immediately adjacent to Hanson Creek. You heard about Oakmont supporting this development. Oakmont is to the west. The subdivisions we're talking about here are residents that are directly affected to the north. I heard a statement there's 10 to 20% degree slope out there. It's about 45% degree slope immediately adjacent to my home. Or my homes. I'm one of the residents that did not receive a notice for the meeting as a result of that change in where that emergency entrance is. I also heard a comment tonight about it's our intention to put single family in here, or it's our intention to do this. What's to preclude them from changing that in the future?
Okay. Law.
Yeah, law.
Yeah,
all right.
Okay.
Okay, some of our concerns, and I'll rank them. Stormwater runoff. It's not a 10 to 20% slope, it's a 45% slope. I've owned a residence on Graham Clark there for 20 years. And one of the major storm collection areas, the storm pipes, run right through my property. And I've seen a dramatic increase since the grading has taken place on the top of the hills. There's like only four or five stormwater runoff areas that feed into the lake. And it's terrible right now. And you're going to hear many residents complaining in here. And if you check with the County Roads Commission, you're going to hear about all the complaints that's going on Graham Clark Drive on the stormwater runoff. We know that the removal of foliage in large buildings, parking lots, roadways is going to contribute tremendously to water runoff. I drove through Big Cedar today in the development, and I see your retention ponds and what happens and how you collect the water and it runs off, but I also see at the end of those detention ponds continuous water flow. In my area, there's not continuous water flow, but all the residences along this north side of Graham Clark Drive are going to be affected because there's going to be, with these retention ponds, this huge slope, it's going to be continuous runoff.
Please address the commission, sir, not the audience.
All right. Wastewater impact. You know, they talked about pumping stations. I own commercial property in St. Louis. I've got pumping stations. St. Charles County gave them easements for pumping stations. They do have backup generators. However, I'm telling you, there's a smell at the pumping stations. And people can tell you there's not. I can bring you to St. Louis and show you St. Charles City pumping stations on my property, and there is a smell. So that's got to be a concern to all of us. Traffic control, we heard about the traffic. Graham Clark is the major thoroughfare for Big Cedar right now. We see the vans, we see the buses go by. Top of the Rock is at the top of the hill. There needs to be traffic control. There needs to be maintenance budgets with the county set to increase, you know, improve the roadways through that area to slow down that traffic if it's going to occur. You know, we know development's coming, but we got to address each and every one of these key issues. The water well effects, I think that's been pretty well covered, but I noticed In my four homes, I've got multi-filters in the homes now. Deterioration in the last 20 years in water well quality. My concerns are with the lake, the silting in, the runoff from these hills coming down. That lake is really what attracts everyone to this region. It attracts this Wilderness Lodge. They call it Wilderness Lodge and Big Cedar, and I've seen 20 years of Big Cedar growth. And they have been a good neighbor, but when you get 600 timeshare peoples, those people aren't good neighbors. They come down to party. They come down to their own environment. They have disregard for residences. So the residents in this area, it's a very protected area, need to be protected. And this Planning Commission, I've been through your guidelines, your codes. It provides for that protection, and we got to adhere to those guidelines. Additional questions, will plans be approved and supported by the public, be subject to change without representation? You know, again, I heard intention to do this, that entrance off of Graham Clark, it was explained to me that was going to be a major entrance. Now I hear it's an emergency entrance. What's it going to look like? Because that's directly across the street from my homes. The guidelines of the county, you know, I think your website needs to get updated. I didn't get notice of this meeting, only through a neighbor. The last meetings I've attended, 3 or 4 years ago, I've been involved in this Planning Commission, and I was able to help with petition drives to show you the number of residents that are against the project or want some concerns addressed. But you need to update at least your website so we all know what's going on. Possible solutions, okay? In other counties and communities, what I've seen is independent firms hired by a process appointed by the governments. It paid for by the developer, but independent firms just to check some of these things to make sure they're addressed properly. Because it's very easy for a developer to hire somebody and present nice documentation to you, say this is all being taken care of when it's not. But it needs to be independently checked. The major issues, stormwater, wastewater, traffic control, public infrastructure needed, and the lake impacts. Those areas have to be addressed. My suggestion is slow down a little bit. Let's don't push this. 109 acres, 600 timeshares on it, and the effects on this community, it seems like, you know, without enough public input or independent search to make sure that these plans all are done right is very important, because you heard tonight 10 to 15 years development. Why should we rush through 1 to 2 months and approve it snap without checking all these areas? Suggestions, you know, we need to establish baselines on washout areas. I'm going to take a lot of photographs of my property of what it looks like now. In 5 years, if I've got major streams flowing through it, then I'm going to be coming back and I'm going to be looking for retribution. But we need to establish those baselines so our residents can be protected. And they can easily be done through consultants. I suggest that the Big Cedar Group, their consultants, their architects, work with community leaders, representatives of our subdivision. Show their plans to us. Work with us. We'd be happy to work with them. We know they could be a very good neighbor. This could be a model development. Working with the community, we can communicate to all the residences so they're all their concerns are alleviated. We don't end up in a lot of lawsuits and a lot of notoriety, but that's my suggestion, working with the community to resolve all these issues. Thank you.
Mr. Unger, thank you very much. Especially appreciate the comment on the website. That's a good comment. Larry Dawson, please.
First thing I want to do is apologize for my hand up. It's obviously not accurate, but it's
okay.
The best
and
I can
Mr.
do.
Dawson, if you'll identify yourself for the record, please.
Yes, Larry Dawson. I'm from Washington, Missouri. I had to drive down here because I couldn't get information about what was going to be proposed. That's why I'm here. It appears, from what's up there, which I just saw for the first time this evening, that the main entrance is right above my lots. Or I should say lots. I got my main concern right now is noise. I'd like to know exactly what's going to be adjacent to me, since they've got me surrounded on three sides. In 1960, we purchased the property because it was the lots I have are the lots that they took everybody to show them the beautiful view of the lake. And it's still gorgeous when the undergrowth isn't too high. It's pristine, totally undeveloped. I can attest to that. I crawled through it today. But I plan to. And I applaud the efforts of leaving it a wilderness area and having it a place you can enjoy. But that's always been my attention for this property that I've got. But now I'm surrounded. And
Mr. Dawson, do you have your pointer? The magic pointer? And if you could identify where your property is...
Right
okay,
there.
So you're over in that direction. Okay.
I'm right there.
Okay.
That corner.
Okay, that helps a lot.
I called the Mr. Wade, the contact, and expressed my concerns and said I'd like to know what's going on, and was basically given a brush off. Well, we'll let our people look at it and see if there's any concerns. I have the little mist we got today. My lot is soaked. There are bare rocks where it's washed out from the water that already comes from the existing property above me. It runs that way. The water goes that way. I'm concerned that the main entrance is going to have a lot of paving. That's just going to make it worse. I already have, believe it or not, considering how hard it is to get to, trash problems from people coming in and partying on the pretty place. And also, I've staked my property twice and actually surrounded it with a parachute cord, and somebody took to come in and remove all my markings. They don't want me developing my lot. I don't know who it is, but if I ever catch them. I worry about the pristine nature and the environment, just because that was the draw to my property, is that it is so raw and unimproved. In fact, I plan to put maybe temporary, not even develop the property other than to have a place to park. But this is a big deal for me. And it's something I've been working in my mind since 1960. And I was aware that somewhere about 8 years ago that you guys were buying up all the property. But I didn't realize the extent and how close it was to me. So I, too, want some assurances that I'm not going to hear constant traffic and 30 feet or 50 feet and a fence isn't going to cut it. That's just going to ruin the whole nature. The whole idea of me on my property is, look, there's stars. There's not lights. It's quiet. It's raw. It's nature. It's not St. Louis City or a county or a subdivision. And I'm afraid I'm losing it.
Okay, Mr. Dawson, thank you. The next gentleman, I think, is C.J. Way.
Ms. Chairman, I'm with Blue Green Development.
Okay.
I'm a traffic engineer. I can either speak now or...
Why don't you come up and explain the road, probably the road revision, as quickly as you can, please.
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Chairman. Members of Planning and Zoning, my name is Jay Wynn. I'm a traffic engineer with CJW Transportation Consultants in Springfield, Missouri. My client is Mesa Engineers, and they have asked me to do a preliminary traffic impact study of this development. The development will generate approximately 3,500 vehicles a day. I do have existing traffic counts of the surrounding area. The gentleman mentioned Graham Clark. The traffic volume as of April this year was 567 cars a day. So just to give you some perspective about the number of vehicles there. Existing on Estate Drive, it varies between around 2,100 to 2,500 in April this year. Now, I'm required to place a seasonal, an additional 30% onto that from April to base it in June when traffic is the worst. So I tried to look at the worst case scenario. In doing that and adding the additional traffic onto the existing roadway system, we have around 6,500 to 6,800 vehicles under the worst condition for Estate Drive. Graham Clark has approximately 737 vehicles, so it's still well within the level of service requirements that you would like to see. The thing that I want to stress is the importance of the quality and the thoroughness that they have went through to try to distribute traffic and provide for the other McMean and Outer Roadway. They did this with working with us as well as the developer. What I wanted to just quickly state is that looking at 2012 under full development of this site, traffic is essentially at a level service B or C. A level service is rated just like your report card A through F. A being best, F being worse. The numbers, it is what it is, and I'm willing to share it with anyone. Electronic data, I put tubes out and radar counters. They count vehicles. It is what it is. But what I'm trying to share with you is that this development for Estate Drive and for Graham Clark Drive or any of the surrounding area is not detrimental to the area at all. And then the information that I have shows that that's the case. I'm willing to share any of that information with anyone that'd like to see it. If y'all have any questions, I'd be more than glad to try to answer them.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Russell Hoflicker. Hello.
My name is Russell Hoflicker. I live at 1736 Graham Clark Drive. Just to put it bluntly, am for this project. I have 25 years of banking experience in Branson, Missouri. I've never seen a project of the quality of what Big Cedar has. I think we all know it's a quality project. In 25 years of experience, I have never experienced the quality that has gone into a project like that. My only concern is what some of my neighbors have brought up today would be the water runoff and the water tables. But overall, I would say, I know I'm the minority, but I would be for this project.
Okay, thank you very much. Margie Fisher, please.
Hi, I'm Margie Fisher, and I live at 1863 Graham Clark Drive, and I've been there 6 years. And in the last 6 years, we've had to sink our well because we've had terrible water problems. The drainage has gotten worse, and last year they cut out all the trees and thinned everything out above us, and all my neighbors are having the same problem that I have. I have drainage ditches, but the water just keeps coming, and I can't keep the ruts out of my road. I can't keep the ruts out of my yard. My yard is constantly wet. It's more like a swamp.
You live on the north side or the south side of Graham Clark?
North side.
North side.
You're right next door to the little piece that was sticking up.
Yes,
there.
I'm right next door to
the
that
lot
little
that I told
piece.
You that was not included.
Oh, okay.
In the lot. Right up here.
We
There's
have,
a pointer up there if you'd like to show them this.
We have. Is this a small piece?
No, it's actually right over right here.
Right here.
Okay.
Right
there.
Yeah, so I'm right here. And my biggest thing is, okay, they say this is a 15-year project. Top of the Rock had a small kitchen fire in 2004. They have gone under remodel after remodel after remodel after remodel. They are now in year five and still aren't open. They've opened up into the off of Graham Clark at the very top of the hill. They have opened up and have dump trucks going up and down the hills. We've had several dump trucks tip over. They make a huge mess. It inconveniences all of us. I hit a rock that busted open my tire, that $250 for a tire. And they won't sell you one tire with 20,000 miles on your car. You have to buy two. And I'm fed up with the constant traffic. If you try to walk and go for a nice walk with your pet or your mother-in-law or your friends, you get run over. And people are nonstop, how do I get to Big Cedar? How do I get to Big Cedar? I can't believe how much the traffic, nobody uses the 86 entrance. Everybody comes through us. And we have more traffic now since we've gotten the stoplight than we did ever with just Graham Clark pulling off to 65. As far as Blue Green goes, I've stayed in Blue Green resorts. I've put up with their crap. They're not a great resort. I stayed in one down in Florida, and it was terrible. I'll never go back. And I have to deal with 620 units over the hill from me. The horse trails, they change those, and they come right down to my backyard. So now it upsets my dogs. And then I have to hear all the people. And I lived out there so that it's peace and quiet. But now, if they're going to come up and over the hill with all of these, a fence and some trees, there's hardly any trees left. And now they've got another road that they just cut in off of Graham Clark partway down the hill. And they just laid in a new culvert and new rock and then cut out all the trees. So how long is this really going to last? How long am I going to have to listen to all the dump trucks and all the equipment and the blasting? It's not going to be 15 years. I can guarantee you that they just never stop. And it's just like with Top of the Rock. They haven't even opened it yet, and it's been 5 years. So how long are we really going to have to deal with all this? I've dealt with the dump truck thing now for a year up and down our hill. And I'm tired of that. And I'm tired of all the traffic.
Do you know where those dump trucks are going?
Yeah, they leave from the Top of the Rock, and they go to the bottom of down okay. there, and they pull in. And I don't know what they're doing back there.
And that's from the golf course development, you think, probably. Okay.
Yeah, they're just going to town up there. They've built retaining walls and moved in big boulders. And I'm just, as far as a good neighbor, they haven't been very neighborly lately.
Okay.
So.
Okay, Margie, thank you.
Thank you.
Juanita Davis or Norman Davis? Do you want to speak together or separately?
He's not feeling it well today.
Okay.
So. I don't have enough copies for everybody.
Okay.
Maybe you can share some of the concerns. Good evening. My name is Juanita Davis. I live at 2429 Graham Clark Drive. I am south of the road, and we are actually the parties that are in a boundary dispute with Big Cedar. Okay, but that's a whole separate issue.
Can we go back to that slide?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Like I say, that's a whole different issue, but it, in a way, summarizes Big Cedar's attitude toward homeowners because of the surveys that go back to 1956 being thrown out, essentially, by their surveyors. Okay. But I won't go on into that. We have concerns, and I listed them here, and a lot of them have been addressed very well, much better than I could. Water runoff is a big one, okay? Every time it storms, we have a lot of runoff. And down our driveway is kind of a natural creek bed, and that gets a lot of the water. But it all comes from the top of the mountain. And my husband goes out in the middle of the night in a lightning storm to try to redirect the water. And this is the development, I'm afraid, will only increase that. I don't know what their plans are. Hopefully, they're good plans that will address that. But that's a big, big concern. We've got huge ruts in our driveway. We have to redo everything all the time. The water well, you know, the well water supply and contamination has been addressed, and that's a huge concern for us. We have another resort that went up in our neighborhood a number of years back, filled their water tank. Suddenly, we had no water. So we had to go to our expense to dig deeper for our well, okay? And I don't really want to have to do that over and over as increased use goes on. So I don't know how they can address that. You know, everyone's entitled to have water. I'm not saying, you know, they can't have water. But it is a concern that all of us along that development have because we've experienced problems, okay? The additional traffic is a big, big concern for us. We live right there on the bend of Graham Clark Drive. If we are coming south on Graham Clark and turn into our driveway, we have to hustle, or cars coming around that bend will hit us head on. And sometimes it's been big cedar vans as well as just, you know, other people. They don't respect the speed limits there. So that's a real safety issue. And I don't think it's the only blind drive on Graham Clark that, you know, would be impacted by the increased traffic. It's a major concern, life and death concern, okay? Privacy concerns have been somewhat addressed. In the past, we've had Big Cedar folks ride their horses in our yard and down our drive, and we have gone and leaving their mess behind. We went up to the management and addressed that with them, and they stopped it. So I respect that very much. But the privacy fence is a 30-foot buffer. It's not going to stop the noise, and it's, you know, just a screening. But we hear everything that goes on the mountain. We can hear over in Yogi Bear. You know, we hear everything out on the lake. There's no sound barrier on this mountain reflecting from the lake and back and forth. And with, you know, all of the increased units and the increased number of people, I'm afraid the noise contamination is going to be a real concern for all of us. Visually, you know, you're going to see what you're going to see. I can't expect to keep that mountain pristine. For me, I don't own it, okay? But, you know, just the aesthetics is a concern. Okay. I have environmental concerns, more than just the water and the contamination and the mosquitoes from the retention ponds and stuff. We have deer that cross our driveway every day. We have lynx. We have foxes. We have all kinds of wildlife that just have their natural path that go to the lake to drink. And, you know, so they're going to have to find another route. It's going to chase a lot of the deer away, good or bad, but it's going to have an impact, okay? And I think everyone who enjoys wildlife should be aware of that. We're not going to see the deer population. And, you know, when they don't eat my plants, I won't mind. But, you know, still, it is a concern, okay? The changes in the roads, I wasn't aware that McMean was going to be redirected. And I'm not quite sure where it's going to be redirected. I can't see where it was, where it is. And I have a concern about getting from my house to 86. How am I going to do that once the roads are changed?
Okay, and remember your address.
Yes, I'm sorry. Okay. Okay. I have that concern, okay? And I have a concern going north on Graham Clark Drive because when we had the flood last year, Graham Clark flooded, and it crossed Graham Clark, and we could not get out of our driveway. It was a lake. I thought I was in Hawaii listening to the ocean, honestly. And had we not had private access to family lots next to us where we had done a path a long time ago, we would have been landlocked. We would have had no access to get out. I have heard rumors, and this has not been addressed, and I don't know if it's true or not, that Big Cedar has in mind eventually to close off Graham Clark. if that ever comes up, I certainly hope notice is sent out to everyone that will be affected, because there are life and death issues of emergency vehicle ingress, egress to property that can be landlocked.
I get your source for that, because I don't believe that that's something that could happen. That is a county road.
Yeah.
And a public road.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Well, that I.
And a major road down.
Yeah.
That area, so.
The major road. But, you
okay.
know, as I say, that's rumor.
Okay.
Won't give you
sounds
my sources.
Sounds like it's in the rumor category
yeah.
somewhere along the line. You know, and
but
not
sometimes rumors come true. Okay. Water clarity of the lake with all the runoff is a concern for me, and this was kind of brought up and I didn't put it on my notes. I've been here in the Ozarks since I was a young teenager. My family and friend families bought all those little lots next to each other in 1960 or somewhere. So right now with my grandchildren, that property, that home, that lake goes to four generations. I don't want to see it negatively impacted. And the water clarity now is not what it was when I was 13. Mm-hmm. When you were swimming, you could look down and see the fish, bite your toes, and now you can't. You know, it's already been very, very adversely impacted by all the runoff and the development. And I would hope that this development would consider that and not make it worse. I don't know how. But those are my concerns, and I really hope that they are given an ear, because it's my home,
right.
and I don't want to leave it. Thank you.
We understand, Mrs. Davis. Thank you. Sam Owens.
My concerns have been addressed well, Mr. Chair, Mr. Unger.
Okay.
On that north side,
okay.
So
My advice for some of you who are here and want clarification that you have a complete design, architectural, engineering, traffic team here, and I'm going to call the public hearing on Big Cedar closed at this time, but this is a big building and you certainly might want to take advantage of asking the experts for issues such as road, the concern with McMean, you know, how you get to 86 now, or how you will get to 86 and answer some of those questions again. But before I let you go, gentlemen, on next Monday, the commission will be voting on this particular issue. And I think it's important that we have some major questions here, and one of which is the water table. And so please address by next Monday the issue of the water table and water consumption and levels, where are you in the aquifers, and you know, all of that kind of thing, and then the impact of your water usage on the adjacent cove. Okay?
I can address that right now. I spoke with Jim Van Dyke.
Do you want to give him officially?
Okay. And you are?
My name is Mike Stalzer with Mesa Engineering, okay. and I'm here for Blue Green. I spoke with Jim Van Dyke from the Missouri Department of Natural Resources last week about the well issue. And, you know, I asked him point blank, how would it affect the water table? He said they don't really monitor that. But if you wanted to contact him directly, to call him, and he will address the issue directly to you,
okay.
the board. Do you want his phone number?
No, I don't want his phone number. I want you to have that information for us next Monday.
You want me to have a letter from DNR?
I think that would certainly
okay.
help.
Okay.
Okay.
And then the treatment plant for the wastewater, the sanitary sewer, is state-of-the-art. You know, Big Cedar has gone through tremendous expense with their infrastructure, the treatment plant, the well, the storage tank, all that. If there is a power outage, they do have, obviously, backup generators to run all that.
This treatment plant will be the same one, same area, maybe expanded?
Right now, they have a three-chamber SBR. It's not at or near capacity if, in fact, in the future they do need
But you're not going to plant another one somewhere else on the
No, plant. It would most likely be on the property adjacent to the existing plant.
Okay.
And then the stormwater will be addressed according to Taney County regulation.
We understand that, but I think you, as developers of this project, so my question is to those of you who are the key people putting this together, I understand that most of Taney County is impervious cover, so that's the given to begin with. But my real concern is, how do you do the best possible job that you can with water retention on a mountain? And that's the question that you're really dealing with. And how can you help? What are your retention plans? Where are they located? And I'd almost like that information on the whole project, because everything is intricately kind of involved with the proposed project as well as your existing water runoff.
You know, right now that we're showing the proposed basin schematically, you know, to show where the drainage would likely go.
But I need a topography map. I need
Well, it's underneath the drawing. You can see the contours.
I'm just asking to make sure that we have the information where we can make an intelligent decision on this project. And I don't think we have it at this point. Okay.
Do you want the basin sized? And
I think you need to give us as much information as you can possibly give us. And we need the topo map because, again, are those the best possible locations for the retention ponds? And will the retention ponds handle the kind of runoff? You know, we've talked about a ridge road. We've talked about everywhere from a 20% grade to a 40% grade. We've heard all that statistic. I need to see that information before I can make a decision on this. Okay, so I'm closing the hearing on this, and we're moving on to other issues on the agenda tonight. Mr. Edwards. Okay.
Are we being asked to approve that commercial at blanket, or does that come back to the commission whenever they decide to?
In the past, you've, and I'll reference up to Mr. Barth's property up on BB Highway, what comes to mind. If you remember that, he had a couple of lots on the front of that he wanted to, in the future, do some commercial development. You okayed that for that with the understanding that whatever the development was that came in there, it came back to you for approval
on the site.
But that's something you would do in your decision record if you choose to do that.
Okay.
Take care of it next week.
Public hearing on Big Cedar Wilderness Club expansion is closed. Let's move on to the next item on the agenda. And it has to do with Acacia Club Road, is that
Acacia
correct?
Acacia Bend 1 and 2, originally the project brought through by Casimar Steck, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. They are asking for a renewal of their permit. This will be their third and final renewal of that. We need to make sure we have a representative here for that.
If you can please exit as quietly, because we're moving on with new business or old business.
Both.
As the case may be. What's your favorite soda? Okay. Yeah, why don't you?
Ms. Kleinfelder, I'm not sure if we have a representative here or not. If we don't.
Okay. Okay, do we have a representative here for Acacia Bend? Okay.
Seeing none, let's move on. I just have a couple things to hit with you. We've got a request before us. Dan, do you have this one up by chance? No. I'm looking. There's no representative for Acacia Bend. I'm looking at the cell tower.
Okay.
I'll just tell them where it is. Out on 265, where it turns into Windmill Road, there's two cell towers right after you come out of the curve there on the left. If you go down Highway 65, like you're going to Hollister, to 265, you take a right on 265, and if you follow it up, 265 will turn and go off to the right. If you stay to the left, it becomes Windmill Road. Right there on the left, there's two cell towers.
Is that there by Big Cedar or by the top of the rock?
It's
out there
across the
road. Okay. It's right after you pass P Highway, 265 and P Highway, right on the left there. It was approved for a cell tower, evidently. There's two lots side by side. Both of them have cell towers on there. We have a request to put a 20 by 40 building barn for them to store equipment, trucks, and things like that in. in that cell tower perimeter. Normally...
How big's the building?
20 by 40.
Is it on the tower on the right as you pull in the driveway?
When you're facing it, would be the one on the right. Yes, sir. The short little blackish one. Windmill Road. Yes, sir. And the lot's 3.77 acres that this sits on. It's got a big compound. It would be inside the existing compound. It's a big gravel lot and everything like that. However, you approved it for a cell tower and that kind of thing there. And normally, if they were co-locating and adding another little building, we'd give them a Division II and go on. Never had this request. They do want to park some of their trucks and vehicles like that on that site there, the same company. Yeah, this would be it right here. And they're wanting to put it right in this area right here. So.
Oh, that butts up against all that conservation department property.
Yeah. Right. This is Highway 65 out here. And then across the street here is National Forest and everything like that. I believe there's a cabin over in here somewhere right around this area.
P Highway's back up in this area. Substation, right?
Dan, drop that down, Dan, to about 600 feet, and let's get them oriented real quick.
Campbell Electric's got a substation back in there, too.
Yeah.
Thanks, pretty.
So, of course, here's T65 coming up, and then it turns and goes this way, P Highway. If I'm not mistaken, that's P Highway. Windmill Road comes and goes on around here, and this is just right after that little bend. A little log cabin right in this area here and everything. This really falls away. You have to be looking for it to see it.
If I'm not mistaken, all that yellow around that, that's all conservation department.
Dan, hover over that for just a second.
I'm almost sure it is.
Just hover for a second.
It is. Missouri State Conservation. Yes, it is.
So, anyway,
my question to you is, do you want to hear that project, or do we just issue them a Division II to build a barn and let them...
Sure. I think let them build it. I mean, there's not any houses over there.
No, sir, there's not. And
you have to go in on a corner. There's a locked gate and everything that goes.
That is correct. And it will be on the same site as the cell tower and the equipment that was approved for that. I just wanted.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Okay. That's so.
I see a corner right there. The building.
Is there anything else?
In that fence.
Yeah.
They don't have a representative here for Acacia Club. No, ma'am, I gave you some information in your packet because I had several questions from different guys about the what they're reading in the newspaper as far as...
Appreciate that.
And that's what I know. If you have any more, we'd like some more information on that. We will have to see the commission.
Yeah, does anybody have a question about the land use study that the county has contracted for?
Go get them.
Uh-huh.
The sooner the better.
Okay.
It's just a comment. Now, do we decide on the other one?
It's supposed to be over with. So
yeah. On which?
8:15.
Said go for it.
I don't know that they have a set date. It's just, they're working through phase by phase.
Okay.
Motion.
I hear a motion to adjourn. The meeting is adjourned until next Monday night.
Sean.
We didn't hear... from Chuck. Did he have any comments?
Shell's Ben.
Pretty much in the hallway.
City of Forsyth now.
It's still tough getting through the hallway.
They have come back through. No, when it was approved, it was not. And they have come back through about two. We did. They came through and did four lots, and we allowed to split them in half, to 2.5 acre lots.
Because my good friend of mine wants to buy a lot out there, and they want to split it, and they won't be doing that.
Yeah.
So
and everything, but he will.
Let me make sure.
Yeah, they did come through. Yeah.
What to do?
There's nothing you can do.
And it's never
out in front, the commercial area.
No, this is the back.
Yeah, it's what? Well, no, there's a part of Shoals Bend back there that's not, it's not Shoals Bend. There's another part behind Shoals Bend right on the lake. Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah, Shoals Bend, yes.